Grace, mercy, and peace to you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, this morning you heard it in the words of St. Paul that he penned to the church at Thessalonica. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. If you'd ask my confirmants, what does it mean to be sanctified? They would say to be made holy. May the God of peace, as the Apostle Paul says, make us holy. Because the reality is you and I, because of our sin, are unable to make ourselves holy, period, in a sentence. We are dead in our sins and trespasses. Only a Heavenly Father can create holiness out of us. Now, I'm not saying you don't do good deeds. In fact, you do, and I encourage you to do so. There's no one among you that hasn't gone out of their way to care for it or to provide for a friend or family member or even a stranger. You are generous with your time, your money, and your energy for other people, and to God be praised, but the good works we do by no means make you and I holy. They don't sanctify us one iota. All the good that we do doesn't make up for the sin that we have committed. Period. It'd be kind of like someone who had committed a crime to go before the judge and all the evidence is weighed against him. And he says, but wait a minute. But I helped the lady across the street and I paid all my taxes and I did all these good things. It'd be ridiculous to think that the judge would let him skate on the charges against him because he's guilty, as you yourselves confessed just a moment ago. Not with the words, I'm a poor, miserable sinner, but you said words to that effect, that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness. That's every single one of us. So we prayed in this morning's collect prayer these words, Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. Do you notice what we didn't pray? We didn't pray, Lord, lighten the darkness of the sin-filled world around me that's getting darker by the minute. Light it up, man. We need to see, Lord. Those words are not there in the prayer. The reality is, as we look around us in the world today, we realize we live in a dark world. In fact, it doesn't matter. Every day you look at the newspaper or on your text messages or whatever, there's always some other disaster or some other great, a heinous crime that has taken place or some tragedy has taken place. They're so commonplace, we kind of like mark them off. Whether it's the shootings in the church down in Texas or the disappearance and the body found of Sidney Loof or whatever it may be, it's all around us, or the fires in California. We become so used to it, we're almost immune. It's like we hear the bad news, we cry, and we text and say, well, you're in my prayers, my thoughts, and then that's the last thought you give it, because quite honestly, there's something new coming tomorrow. We live in a dark world. And it gets darker by the day. This time of year seems to express more than any that idea the world is dark. Because this coming Thursday on the 21st of December, it's going to be the least amount of daylight on any 24-hour period for the whole year of 2017. It's going to be dark a lot of Thursday. I told my wife, I said, I would never make it in Alaska. In the summer, yes, the winter, no. Because I like the sunlight. I love the... It must be the vitamin D or whatever you get from the sunlight, because I thrive on it. And the idea of being in darkness, I don't like it. So I don't like this time of year all that much. Christmas, yes. Darkness, absolutely not. And we try to supplement in the darkness by hanging Christmas lights around our house. And you'll go home to your neighborhoods and there'll be like a discotheque with all the blinking lights and the zipping lights. And now we got the projector lights on the side of the house. But unfortunately, as it turns into a winter wonderland for a while, but ultimately Christmas is over and the lights are shut off. Off and it becomes darker than ever before. But this morning we did not pray, Lord, lighten the darkness of our dark world. Bring light into our world, oh Lord. We didn't pray that at all. Because that's going to happen when Christ returns in all of His glory. The darkness will be dispelled forever. Glory of God will shine all around like the shepherds outside of Bethlehem. It's going to be awesome. And during this Advent season, we say, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. But today we say, Lord, start with me. Start with me. Start with my heart and the darkness that resides within me. See, the reality is that our hearts are pretty dark places too, aren't they? Take a good look. The darkness is there. In fact, we heard in Isaiah today the words that there's going to be this idea of the poor and the captive and the bound and the brokenhearted and all that stuff going on. But we think of brokenhearted in English, we think of someone who's just sad. You're brokenhearted, a loved one died, or you're just sad or depressed and you need some Prozac or something. But the reality is, the Hebrew doesn't look at it that way. The Hebrew looks at this brokenhearted as those who have been crushed by sin. Their heart has been utterly smashed and decimated. We look in the mirror of God's law and we begin to realize He's referring to us. We're the brokenhearted. Why? Because we don't love as we should. We're supposed to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. And we think to ourselves at times, I don't have that much love to go around, Lord. And we don't speak as we should. And we certainly don't desire as we should in a world that is so stained with sin. But I should probably ask for a raising of hands. Those of you who have not made someone else's life more dark by the things that you've either said or done. It'd probably be all of us. We've said or done something that's plunged somebody else's world into even more darkness than before. And you can slap all the Christmas lights you want in your house, and you can send out all the Christmas cards and the greetings, and you can even give gifts, but in the end, the lights are shut off. The cards are recycled, or should be. And the reality is that the gifts are finally put away. And it hasn't changed anything. The world we live in is still a dark place to live. It's a miracle at all that we're even still here. It's a miracle at all that God loves us enough to reconcile us to Himself. That He loves you enough to create faith in your heart, and not only create it, but also sustain it. It is a miracle that He calls you and I, as sinful human beings, the children of God, laughable to some, but to us who are dying, it's joy. And God has called you His child. And then He enlightens the darkness of all of us. But then Paul comes back to that word, sanctify us. Sanctify us. How does God do it? First of all, He sent John into the world. And John's job as a pastor was fairly easy. He called everybody a bunch of sinners, encouraged them to be baptized. That's pretty much the message. It took about 10 seconds. But the reality is, it was a little bit more than that, because his job was not only to point out your sin, but to make it stick to you. You know, as a pastor, our job is to proclaim the law in such a way that we don't ping off you. It's supposed to penetrate. It's supposed to go right to the heart and realize He's talking about me. You should leave here on Sunday and say, man, pastor was ripping me today. He is hitting on all my sins. But then John's second job was to point to the one who would save. And that's the job of the pastor. If you only leave here thinking, pastor was just picking on me today, you kind of missed the point. Because ultimately it should be Jesus that rings in your ear. But the reality is, John wasn't all that important. In fact, when the priest and the Levites came and asked him, are you the Christ? Are you the prophet? And he said, no. He kept telling them what he wasn't. And in the end, he simply said, I'm a voice. I'm a voice, one crying in the wilderness. Yeah, a voice of repentance. And a finger that pointed towards the one that would ultimately provide salvation for all of their sins. But do you realize we live in a world where there's a lot of voices? Man, just turn on the radio, the television, or read the text. There's a lot of voices out there saying a lot of stuff that, quite honestly, isn't worth even listening to. And there's a lot of fingers pointing to a lot of places that aren't Jesus. Especially this time of year, all of this Christmas season, this season of joy, and we're stuck with, well, happy holidays. We don't want to say Christmas because we might offend someone. The problem is this whole season has been wrapped up with so much Santa Claus that many people celebrate Christmas and they don't have any idea who we're celebrating for and what He's come to do. And so John came and climbed into the witness stand, and he tells us. He spoke the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help him God. And he began to point out who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for each and every one of us. Oh, we love that Christmas hymn, Silent Night, Holy Night. Why was the night holy? You ever thought about why that night was holy in a dark world? It's because Jesus Christ was born. The very Son of God, wrapped in human flesh, lying in a manger. The very Son of God who came into the world to take upon himself all of your sins, every single one of them, and to ultimately carry them to the cross of Calvary where he'd suffer and die in your place for what you have done. Jesus Christ has paid for it all. See, the reality is that you are innocent. Because of the grace of God that is given to you in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because Christ was born, and at his birth he is given the name Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. What was his name at the cross? It's called King of the Jews. And the blood that was shed that day was more than just the blood of the king, it was the blood of God himself. And a blood that ultimately would sanctify you, and I love this, sanctify you completely, not partially, not some of the way that you got to kind of finish the race, but sanctify you completely, your whole soul, spirit, soul, and body, all of it, forgiven, renewed. You are a new creation, amen, period. But there's only one problem. Each of you struggle with it from time to time. It's that problem of, Pastor, I don't feel holy. You ever felt that way? I don't feel holy. In other words, I don't feel forgiven. I still sin. I still struggle with temptation. I still stumble and fall, Pastor. There's times I lose my temper and when I say things I shouldn't, and I fall short of God's glory. And then we begin to think, well maybe the work of God is not complete. It needs to be supplemented by my good works and somehow I can redeem myself. But the harder I try, the less it works. And the more I feel I'm just not forgiven. And then we begin to think to ourselves, well, then the gospel is simply not true. God's love for me isn't true. And so therefore, I'm not really forgiven. Now what do I do? So it's important for each of you to know that the holiness we are given is not of nature, not yet. Let me explain that. Complete holiness comes either when you die or when Christ returns, whatever comes first. Until then, each day of your life, you're going to be wrestling against sin. It's a reality. The weakness of the human flesh is there nipping at your heels every single day. It's hard. But though we are not yet holy by nature, you are holy indeed. Now, many times you'll come to this place and you'll hear the sermon and you'll sing the hymns and you'll receive the sacrament and you'll leave the place thinking, I don't feel any different, Pastor. I don't know if it didn't take or it was just me, but I don't feel forgiven. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ has declared you forgiven at the cross of Calvary when he said it is finished. And so therefore, as God's children, we rejoice. We rejoice always and we pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances for that grace of God that has been poured out upon us, poor, miserable sinners. And so this kind of holiness is a matter of faith. Do you believe? But at the same time, I can't say, well, I'm saved because I believe, because it's kind of like, well, I'm a dog because I think I'm a dog. But the reality is we're saved because of the promises of God. And the faith that you and I have is a gift that God has given unto us. It's not something that we somehow figured it out more than other people did. But God has showered his grace and mercy on us, and we know that we are forgiven. For as Paul told us, he who calls us is faithful, and he will surely do it. And so right now, if you don't really feel all that holy, believe it or not, what I think or feel, that's what the devil wants us to do. He's all about emotion. Instead, this morning as you gather in this place, simply believe instead of what Jesus Christ has told you. That your sins are forgiven. And so although you may look and feel that same when you leave as you did when you come, but the reality is you're a different person because you have heard the word of God and his holy words of absolution. spoken by your pastor, but you should hear the words of Christ to say, your sins are forgiven. And they're wiped away as if they never existed. And if that were not enough, he allows that word of God to be preached in its truth and purity and to fall upon your ears to convict you of your sin, but also to assure you of the forgiveness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. You are no longer the same. And were that not enough, in a few moments, he'll invite you to come to the altar where he'll give you the very flesh and blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, not only to reassure you of the forgiveness of all your sins, but to strengthen your faith. All an act of God sanctifying you, changing you. Well, the reality is, as we begin to reach the end of this Advent season, we had to light another candle today, the pink candle. It's the candle of hope. Because for those who are in Christ, we have a tremendous amount of hope in the promise that God has given, not only for the forgiveness of sins through the means of grace, but also for the hope of eternal life that comes when Christ returns in all of his glory and the darkness of our sin-filled world is finally overturned forever. So today we look into the darkness of our own hearts and realize, come, Lord Jesus, today start with me. Change my heart. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.